Chapter 39. Verse 1. When Joseph was taken down to Egypt, a certain Egyptian, Potiphar, a courtier of Pharaoh and his chief steward, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Of the two primary names for God in the Torah, the Lord, YHWH Adonai, and God, Elohim, the Lord connotes the more personal aspect of God, while Elohim connotes the universal God, the Creator. The Lord is used here and throughout most of this chapter because God is involved in the personal, looking after Joseph. Joseph as a paradigm of the Jewish people. Verse 2 continued, and he was a successful man. The story of Joseph is a paradigm of the Jewish experience, from being thrown into a pit and then being sold by traders into slavery in a foreign land. He met with considerable success before being wrongfully imprisoned, then released, and once again rose to success, this time on a grand scale. Jewish history follows the same pattern. Jews are persecuted. The moment they are emancipated, they achieve social and professional success. Then they are subjugated again, and when given another chance, they rise again. Like Joseph, the Jewish people have been remarkably successful in foreign societies. The primary reason has been the Jews' values: strong and stable family life, nearly universal marriage and children, near universal literacy, even among women, emphasis on the life of the mind, delayed gratification, for example, keeping one's children in school as long as possible rather than sending them out to work, and an aversion to violence. These values ultimately derive from the Torah and later Judaism. There is no other way to explain the success, and more importantly, the influence of the Jews, one of the world's smallest peoples. Regarding the Jews' influence, Winston Churchill wrote this in 1920. "We owe to the Jews a system of ethics, which, even if it were entirely separated from the supernatural, would be incomparably the most precious possession of mankind, worth, in fact, the fruits of all wisdom and learning put together. On that system, and by that faith, there has been built out of the wreck of the Roman Empire the whole of our existing civilization." Verse 3. "And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord lent success to everything he undertook." Verse 4. "He took a liking to Joseph. He made him his personal attendant and put him in charge of his household, placing in his hands all that he owned." Potiphar comes across as an entirely decent man. Despite the terrible suffering inflicted by Egyptians on the Israelites, the Torah repeatedly depicts individual Egyptians sympathetically or even heroically: the daughter of Pharaoh and the Egyptian midwives in Exodus. Verse 5. "And from the time that the Egyptian put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed his house for Joseph's sake, so that the blessing of the Lord was upon everything that he owned, in the house and outside." This is reminiscent of the success God bestowed on Laban's house because of Jacob's presence. See Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. Verse 6. "He left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and with him there he paid attention to nothing save the food that he ate." The ancient Egyptians had particular dietary practices, see Genesis chapter 43, verse 32, for which reason Potiphar would not have wanted Joseph in charge of his food, but he entrusted Joseph with every other aspect of his household management. The verse can also be interpreted as meaning Joseph took care of every aspect of Potiphar's life. All that Potiphar had to concern himself with was what he ate. Verse 6 continued, "Now Joseph was well built and handsome." Literally translated, this verse states Joseph was well built and good to look at. Both Sarah and Rachel were described this way, But this is the only time the Torah used these words to describe a man. Probably because Joseph is the only male in the Bible whose looks played a significant role in the fate that befell him. Verse 7. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." Potiphar's wife is surprisingly direct. Typical gender roles were reversed in this encounter. The woman was the person in the position of power and the one who sought inappropriate sexual relations, while the man was particularly good-looking, in the vulnerable position, and the one who said no. Verse 8, but he refused. Every word or group of words in the Torah has a corresponding musical notation, known as trope, which indicates how that word should be chanted. The Hebrew word for refused, vayi ma'ein, is marked by the longest musical note in the trope, shashalet. When chanted, a part of the word is chanted over and over as if it read, "and he refused." The most plausible explanation is Joseph rebuffed Mrs. Potiphar's advances over and over. See verse 10. Essay. Why was Joseph considered particularly righteous? It is primarily because of his rejection of Mrs. Potiphar's attempt to seduce him that Jewish tradition appended the title of righteous to Joseph's name, Yosef HaTzadik. The rabbis, being male, understood how difficult it is for a man to resist a woman's invitation to be with her. A second reason Joseph was given the greatest title Judaism can bestow was his having saved Egypt from a calamitous and deadly famine. A third reason, offered in a modern commentary by Rabbi Shmuel Golden, is that all three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and two of the four matriarchs, Sarah and Rebecca, received direct messages from God. By the time of Joseph, however, this was no longer the case. None of Jacob's 12 sons experienced a direct revelation from God. Yet Joseph again and again made reference to God and honored God before others. When Mrs. Potiphar tried to seduce him, he said to her in the next verse, "How then could I do this most wicked thing and sin before God?" When his two fellow prisoners complained there was no one to interpret their dreams, Joseph responded, "Surely God can interpret. Tell me your dreams." Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. When Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have heard it said of you that for you to hear a dream is to tell its meaning," Joseph replied, "Not I. God will see to Pharaoh's welfare." And Pharaoh was convinced. After hearing Joseph's interpretations and advice, Pharaoh said to his courtiers, "Could we find another like him, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, who had so grievously sinned against him, he assured them that they had nothing to fear from him. "Do not be distressed or reproach yourselves because you sold me hither. It was to save life that God sent me ahead of you." Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. Golden concludes, "Joseph is a tzaddik because he is the first of our ancestors to maintain his faith while living in a non-prophetic era, an era when God is silent. Joseph emerges as the paradigm for our lives. Our challenge, like his, is to see God's hidden hand in the world around us and to determine our role in the unfolding divine plan." And as Rabbi Ian Pera pens, this is what makes Joseph a tzaddik, particularly righteous. In a world in which God is silent, in a world in which God appears absent, Joseph sees God everywhere. Why Joseph refused Mrs. Potiphar. Verse 8 continued, "He said to his master's wife, 'Look, with me here, my master gives no thought to anything in this house, and all that he owns he has placed in my hands.'" Verse 9, "He wields no more authority in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except yourself, since you are his wife. How then could I do this most wicked thing and sin before God?" Joseph gave Mrs. Potiphar three reasons he would not sleep with her. It would be ungrateful of him to betray his master, who had treated him so generously. She was the wife of another man. Adultery is a sin against God. The last reason is of particular interest, in that Joseph lived centuries before the Ten Commandments were given. How did he know adultery was a sin before God? One possible answer may lie in Joseph's use of Elohim, the universal name of God, when he told Mrs. Potiphar adultery is a sin before God. As this is the only time in the narrative Elohim is used, it had to have been deliberate. Sleeping with a married woman was regarded as wrong in Egyptian culture, and Joseph was thereby telling Mrs. Potiphar that adultery was a sin against the God of everyone, Hebrews and Egyptians alike. All three reasons Joseph gave for refusing Mrs. Potiphar involved her being a married woman. That raises an interesting question. Would Joseph have said no to a single woman? Verse 10, "And much as she coaxed Joseph day after day, he did not yield to her request to lie beside her, to be with her." Verse 11, "One such day he came into the house to do his work, none of the household being there inside." Verse 12, "She caught hold of him by his garment and said, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and got away and fled outside." Verse 13, "When she saw that he had left it in her hand and had fled outside." Verse 14, "She called out to her servants and said to them, 'Look, he had to bring us a Hebrew.'" Realizing her own vulnerability, the conniving Mrs. Potiphar shifts blame onto her husband. "He had to bring us a Hebrew." And by referring to Joseph as a Hebrew, she emphasized Joseph's alien status, hoping prejudice against foreigners would help turn the servants against him. Verse 14 continued, "to dally with us." The Hebrew word used here for dally, the sachek, literally means to play, but it also connotes laughter, sometimes mockery, and often sexual innuendo, as in the story of Isaac and Rebekah, Genesis chapter 26, verse 8. Verse 14 continued, "This one came to lie with me." When talking to the servants, Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of coming to lie with her. She later used a different verb when she recounted the incident to her husband. Investigators often asked victims and witnesses to retell their story several times, paying careful attention to such inconsistencies. They are often the hallmark of a made-up story. Verse 14 continued, "But I screamed loud." Perhaps Egyptian law was similar to that of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 through 27, which stipulates that a woman who cried out could claim to have been taken against her will. Verse 15, "And when he heard me screaming at the top of my voice, he left his garment with me and got away and fled outside." Verse 16, "She kept his garment beside her until his master came home." Potiphar is referred to not as her husband, but as Joseph's master, in order to emphasize Potiphar had complete power over Joseph. Verse 17, "Then she told him the same story, saying, 'The Hebrew slave whom you brought into our house came to me to dally with me.'" Verse 18, "But when I screamed at the top of my voice, he left his garment with me and fled outside." Verse 19, "When his master heard the story that his wife told him, namely, 'Thus and so your slave did to me,' he was furious." Furious toward whom? Joseph or his wife? See below. Did Potiphar believe his wife? Verse 20, "So Joseph's master had him put in prison, where the king's prisoners were confined." Joseph's punishment was relatively mild. One would think that a slave accused of the attempted rape of, or even of just carrying on an affair with, the mistress of the house would be executed, if not tortured and then executed. Perhaps the fact that Potiphar let him off relatively easily implies that he did not fully believe his wife. The Torah does not record any dialogue between Potiphar and Joseph, perhaps because Potiphar was afraid to hear the other side of the story, lest he find it convincing. If this presumption is accurate, the previous verse, noting that Potiphar was furious, suggests the possibility it was his wife toward whom he was furious, for initiating the whole thing and for costing him the best servant and manager of household affairs he ever had. Verse 20 continued, "But even while he was there in prison," verse 21, "the Lord was with Joseph. He extended kindness to him and disposed the chief jailer favorably toward him." Verse 22, "The chief jailer put in Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in that prison, and he was the one to carry out everything that was done there." Verse 23, "The chief jailer did not supervise anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made successful." No matter what his situation, Joseph found a way to prosper. He was gifted with a talent for organizing and management, and God saw to it that these skills were recognized and rewarded. In prison, as in Potiphar's house, he was quickly placed in charge and granted executive authority.